Welcome to Session 10. Pastoral preaching has a purpose. The purpose is nothing less than the focus of the preaching ministry of Jesus. That purpose is seen in Matthew 4:17, and in Mark 1:14, and in Luke 10:9, and in John 3:3. After the resurrection, the focus is still there, as Acts 1:3 indicates. The early church contributed the emphasis on this focus, on this purpose, as seen in Romans 14:17, 1 Corinthians 4:20, 1 Corinthians 6:9 and 10, Hebrews 12:28, Revelation 12:10, and many other verses. Jesus preached about the kingdom of God. Repent, the kingdom is near. Jesus proclaimed and showed through demonstrations of the inbreaking of the kingdom as he healed the sick, cast out demons, ministered to the poor, and even raised the dead. Our preaching must point to King Jesus and what it means to live as loyal subjects to our sovereign. Our preaching must assist people in understanding the nature of this now but not yet coming kingdom we've entered. And our preaching must encourage living for the King as citizens of the kingdom of God in our relationships with other people. If you took the version of the Theology of Ministry course that I designed, you heard introductory remarks about the kingdom of God. But in case you didn't take the course, or in case it's been a while, it may take a few moments to comment on the word for kingdom, basileia. It's B-A-S-I-L-E-A, basileia. It means rule, reign, authority. As pastors, we want to see our people come under the rule, reign, and authority of the kingdom of God in every area of their lives. We want their families to come under the authority of God. We want their work to come under the rule of God. We want their interactions with others to be under to reflect the reign of God. That they are doing Matthew 6:33 and seeking first the kingdom, because we do want to see everything they need added to them. As pastors, it's not enough to get them wet and get their names written on the church roll. We want to see them live for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let me encourage you to come up with your own definition of preaching the kingdom. In the meantime, I'd like to share with you, out of my own study of the Scriptures, some insights I've received about kingdom preaching. You may recall, or it may be your first time to hear from the Theology of Ministry course, that I came up with 12 categories of kingdom references, and then more references about the King and about kingdom living. See, there's much to be said about the kingdom. Indeed, the whole of Scripture may be viewed through the lens of the kingdom of God, rather than through contrasting the evil kings of Judah and Israel with the true king, or through paying attention to what the king is like and how the king can be known. The King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God of 1 Timothy 1:17 is the same as, O King of the nations, there is no one like you, of Jeremiah 10:7. Like the one to whom Jesus invited to follow him, who replied, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Who Jesus answered, Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Luke 9:60. It's time to make the preaching of the kingdom of God the priority of our lives, and particularly of our preaching. The definition for kingdom preaching you may come up with may be more clearly stated. I hope so. But in the meantime, consider the following definition and explanation of kingdom preaching. I'll offer this definition. Kingdom preaching actively pursues the current ministry of the Holy Spirit through witnessing with the Word of God about Jesus, the King of Kings, the inbreaking of the kingdom of God, and living in kingdom-oriented relationships, in order that Jesus will be honored as the preaching of the church models the priority of seeking first the kingdom of God. I want to kind of unpack that definition and look at it with you. First of all, kingdom preaching actively pursues the current ministry of the Holy Spirit. The goal in preaching is not to have people say, what a fine sermon. We want instead for God to show up. We want, come Holy Spirit, to be more than a nice phrase. We want the Holy Spirit to come. Kingdom preaching actively pursues the current ministry of the Holy Spirit through providing a faith environment that testifies to the power of God, and then allows the Holy Spirit the freedom to touch people's lives. A faith environment is not a matter of hype or worked-up frenzy. Instead, preaching that is biblically accurate and attested to by the preacher's life experiences is faithful preaching, Romans 10:9, and is backed up by the promise of God's word that faith is going to come to the hearers. By actively pursuing the current ministry of the Holy Spirit, we're looking for what Father is doing, John 6:19, even while we're preaching. For example, a sermon from Acts 3 and 4 focused on why witness and discussed Peter and John saying, "We cannot help speaking about what we've seen and heard." Well, as I was preaching, I could tell that the Holy Spirit was doing a work in people's lives. Encouragement to one to keep sharing his faith, encouragement to another who had stopped sharing with her friends, teaching from the Word to others on how to witness, new boldness for others, new faith for a new day, new obedience for expanding the kingdom of God. Leslie, Word of God is ministering to people through the preaching of the Word. Ministry time, so-called, becomes a time for going deeper with what the Holy Spirit started during the sermon. I want to be a better witness, but I'm afraid. Leads to prayer about fear of rejection and prayer for boldness. I really messed up this week, and my friend knows it. How can I witness now? Opens the door for repentance, forgiveness, honesty. I'm really tired of not getting anywhere with my family, with people in my family. I'm encouraged about not being a better witness. That becomes a shared burden with other people to intercede and an encouragement to trust in God. The faith environment established by kingdom preaching offers a place and time here, now, for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It astonished the people the way that Jesus taught, so much that they said, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority?" He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey. The inbreaking of the kingdom of God occurred as Jesus was preaching. "Let your kingdom come now, Lord, even as we preach." Well, this definition that I've come up with of kingdom preaching, it states through witnessing with the Word of God. Kingdom preaching actively pursues the current ministry of the Holy Spirit through witnessing with the Word of God. Preaching is witnessing with the Word of God that a particular passage of Scripture has been found to be true and resonates so much in the life experience of the preacher that the Word of God for today is this scriptural text. Certainly all of God's Word is true, yet in preaching the focus is on a designated text which has been meditated on, studied, and applied to the preacher's life and then shared with others. The form of that witness, as we've been talking about, you know, calls for all these communication skills that God gives us that we can develop in order for effective sharing of the good news to occur. Yet above any technique or training, preaching is primarily witnessing. It's doing what John did as he began his letter, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked at, and our eyes have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. 1 John 1:1. John continues, "We have seen it and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us." And then John invites us to testify along with him. "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete." 1 John 1, 2-4. Apply John's words to preaching. We want to testify to the truth in such a way that listeners will also be able to testify to the truth. Not as hearsay evidence that would be inadmissible in court, but as reliable, first-hand knowledge witnesses. The case for a conversational approach in tone and temperament is again encouraged. We're not to be belligerent, combative witnesses. We've all seen enough TV courtroom cases to know that those kind of witnesses are not considered favorably by juries. Our witness instead is to come across as a sweet-smelling fragrance, as 2 Corinthians 2:15 says. While reading the autobiography of a pastor who has used many unconventional methods to win people to Christ and to establish a dynamic church, I was impressed by his own description of what he does when he preaches. He simply sees himself as a witness, and preaching as the opportunity to tell what he's seen and heard. Well, I like that. There's no pressure in telling your story what you've seen and heard. It's your story. your encounter with God through His Word. And you've got a story to tell. You're a witness to the activity of the Holy Spirit because God has impacted your life through this passage of Scripture. Because you're witnessing, you don't have to fit it into a certain form. I've been worked not long ago with a doctoral student who had been influenced by a famous preacher. I've often chided this student. That's a good blank sermon, filling in the name with a famous preacher's name. Now let me see one of your sermons. A jury would get rather suspicious if all the people who took the witness stand shared their testimonies in the same manner. The jury would begin to wonder who had coached the witnesses. And listeners sometimes wonder how authentic sermons are if they take the same form Sunday after Sunday. A big part of our witness is the freshness of our witness. We all know Christians who only tell stories that are decades old and wonder if they've got any new stories about what God is doing in their lives. Well, congregations can wonder the same thing about preaching when there seems a staleness about what is being shared. Kingdom preaching witnesses with the Word of God that this is true, as Acts 17:11 says. Well, this definition of kingdom preaching continues, that it's about Jesus, the King of Kings. Kingdom preaching actively pursues the current ministry of the Holy Spirit through witnessing with the Word of God about Jesus, the King of Kings. Kingdom preaching is about the King and includes all of the biblical witness as to who the King is and what the King does. Our King is Creator, Judge, Father, Redeemer, Lord, and Messiah, and all the other titles and descriptive phrases the Bible uses to tell about God. The confusion sometimes fostered by preaching that comes across as speaking of an Old Testament, strict God, and a New Testament, nice Jesus, is minimized when emphasis is given repeatedly to the royal nature of God. As Isaiah says, Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty, I am the first and I am the last. Apart from me there is no God. Isaiah 44:6. Another verse from Isaiah states, I am the Lord your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. Isaiah 43:15. Verses like the above will apply to the discussion on preaching regardless of where you're in the Bible. And so we look to the King, to King Jesus. The concept of God as King serves as bridge from Old to New Testaments, from past to present to future, from the contrast of earthbound servitude to a host of evil monarchs, to the sacrificial act of the King of the Jews on the cross, to the heavenly coronation of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Zechariah's prophetic words, the Lord will be King over the whole earth, this amplified by Paul, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in His own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light. 1 Timothy 6:15 and 16. Through showing the consistency of the Scriptures in looking to Jesus, kingdom preaching offers the full biblical witness as a call to worship the King. Notice references like Psalm 74:12, Daniel 4:37, Zechariah 14:16 and 17. Now a fourth part of this definition on kingdom preaching. It's about the inbreaking of the kingdom of God. Again, let me give you the whole definition here. Kingdom preaching actively pursues the current ministry of the Holy Spirit through witnessing with the Word of God about Jesus, the King of Kings, the inbreaking of the kingdom of God. See this dual present, future, now, not yet nature of the kingdom of God was demonstrated in the preaching and teaching of Jesus. The line of demarcation was crossed into the present reality of the kingdom. As Jesus explained, the law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since that time, the good news of the kingdom of God is being preached. Luke 16:16. It makes sense then for the church today to similarly preach the kingdom. What then to do with the law and prophets? Well, how does this passage from the law provide insights on the kingdom? What may be learned about the kingdom through the prophet's words? Jesus provides the pattern for kingdom preaching as he spoke about both of the right now, inbreaking of the kingdom is at hand, in your midst, and the future dimensions, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Matthew 25:34. The future, invading now quality of praying, thy kingdom come, Ask for the future promise to impact the present situation. The creative way that Jesus communicated kingdom concepts is shown particularly in the parables that Jesus told. Through the parables, Jesus not only told good stories like the prodigal son and the good Samaritan, he also provides a model for preaching to postmoderns. It's noteworthy that when questions about what kind of preaching will most readily be heard by postmodern listeners, the storytelling method is mentioned again and again as having universal appeal. Jesus told stories about the kingdom. Some were brief. The kingdom is like a mustard seed. Other stories were longer. The kingdom is like a wedding feast. But the punchline was the same. The story had something to do about the kingdom. Since Jesus said to seek first the kingdom, doesn't it make sense that preaching should be about helping people understand what it means to make the rule and reign of God preeminent in our lives? Along with the content being shared, being focused on the kingdom of God, the communication itself is to be shared in a fresh, relevant, compelling manner, like the preaching of Jesus. The standard for kingdom preaching, as walking in his steps is encouraged for all believers, see this in 1 Peter 2:21, the pattern and example of Jesus in preaching is our model for preaching. For example, with the Sermon on the Mount, notice how the different ways that Jesus kept the attention of the people through the words that he spoke. Read the Sermon on the Mount as if you've never read it before, and notice how the words of Jesus compel you to listen as you join the crowds amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Matthew 7:28-29. You see, that's kingdom preaching. Now, a fifth part of this definition on kingdom preaching is about living in kingdom-oriented relationships. Kingdom preaching actively pursues the current ministry of the Holy Spirit through witnessing with the Word of God about Jesus, the King of Kings, the inbreaking of the kingdom of God, and living in kingdom-oriented relationships. You see, it's all about relationships. I appreciate a banner in the back of a church building where it said that it's all about relationship. Did you see that in terms of the kingdom? The kingdom life is all about relationship. Relating to the Father through Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Relating to one another. Relating to not yet believers. Biblical Christianity is about relationship, while religion is about rules, regulations, ritual. Kingdom preaching is an advocate for relationship. The kingdom requirements category of verses state clearly that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God, 1 Corinthians 6:9, and then provides a list of lifestyles that some of you were, 1 Corinthians 6:11, before being washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. The gospel of the kingdom is that Jesus changes lives, and that entering the kingdom requires the new birth that Jesus told Nicodemus about in the 3rd chapter of John. I tell you the truth that no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again, John 3:3. Kingdom righteousness is seen in the New Testament as a kingdom as a dynamic pursuit after truth and justice. We're to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Matthew 6:33. Great blessings come to those who are persecuted because of righteousness. The gift of the kingdom itself, Matthew 5:10. As Eugene Peterson says it in the message, you're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. As these two categories above indicate, kingdom life is both heavenly-minded and of earthly good. Yes, we want to share the good news of how people can be assured of eternal life, and yes, we want to equip people to make a difference in this world. If the notion of the kingdom as only being about heaven is due to the way that Matthew followed the Jewish custom of sparingly using the name of God and speaking of the kingdom of heaven instead, then there's still plenty of references in the other Gospels that show that seeking the kingdom is not about contemplating the size of your mansion or angelic wingspan. Paul defined the kingdom in terms of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, Romans 14:17. Well, let's preach the kingdom and see God's righteousness, peace, and joy extended to our families, to our communities, to our churches, and to our nations. We want to see turf taken back from the enemy, and God's rule, reign, and authority to prevail. And then finally, this definition says that Jesus will be honored as the preaching of the church models the priority of seeking first the kingdom of God. May I just do the definition, say the definition one more time here? I kind of like it. I came up with it myself. Kingdom preaching actively pursues the kingdom, the current ministry of the Holy Spirit through witnessing with the Word of God about Jesus, the King of Kings. It's about the inbreaking of the kingdom of God and living in kingdom-oriented relationships in order that Jesus will be honored as the preaching of the church models the priority of seeking first the kingdom of God. You see, it's all about Jesus. Jesus came preaching the kingdom, so let's honor Jesus and preach the kingdom as well. Jesus lived on this earth with the realization that wherever he went, he was on a mission to preach the kingdom. I must preach the good news of the kingdom to the other towns also, because that's why I was sent, Luke 4:43. His mission is to be the mission of the church as well. It's God's kingdom, not a kingdom of, hey, look at me, look what I've done, pride or arrogance. Preaching is instead the humble witness of one flesh and bone finger pointing to the preeminent, glorious, indestructible, eternal kingdom of God. And what a privilege to be a messenger of the King. You see, it's all about Jesus. You see, Jesus came preaching the kingdom. Mark 1:14, the early church was about preaching the kingdom. Acts 20, verse 4. Paul spent his last days in Rome where he boldly and without hindrance preached the kingdom. Acts 28:31. Kingdom preaching was the order of the day in the first century and must be for the church today as well. And so we see that kingdom preaching is preaching that's about the King, his kingdom, living in the kingdom. A survey of the frequency and diversity of biblical references to the kingdom of God yields surprising results. In order to understand what Jesus may have meant when he sent the disciples to preach the kingdom, an overview of the kingdom of God references is necessary. Now, most concordance kingdom references deal with Israel and the nations surrounding Israel. The references, however, that speak of the kingdom of God are enlightening, as you see in verses from Psalms and Daniel that point to the teaching of Jesus. The majority of New Testament books mention the kingdom of God either in present or future terms. And I'd encourage you to look up and mark the references in your Bible to build up your familiarity with the verses. And I just came up with 12 categories that kingdom references can be arranged in. I mentioned this in the Theology of Ministry course. Let me just mention it again for purposes here. There's the category of the preeminence of the kingdom. Like Psalm 22:28, the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. There's the glory of the kingdom, Psalm 145:11-12, so that all may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Third, there's the endurability of the kingdom. His kingdom is one that will never be destroyed, Daniel 7:14, a kingdom that cannot be shaken, Hebrews 12:28. You see this also forever and ever, Daniel 7:18. Of his kingdom there will be no end, Luke 1:33. Not of this world, John 18:36. Four, there's the inbreaking of the kingdom, at hand, Matthew 3:2, 4:17, Mark 1:15. That this inbreaking of the kingdom is not of talk, but of power, 1 Corinthians 4:20. Five, there's this word and works kingdom connection. He preached and healed. Preached and healed. And you see this a number of places. Matthew 4:23, Matthew 9:35, Matthew 10:7, Luke 9:2, Luke 9:11, Luke 10:9, and then 1 Corinthians 4:20 again. I just an aside, had a student one time, I was talking about healing in connection with the kingdom of God, and he asked the question, where do you get that? Where do you get this connection? I said, it's right here. That Jesus preached the kingdom of God and he healed, you know, and there's that connection. And so to see healing, to see the mighty ministry of Jesus is in the context of the kingdom of God. Another is the matter of kingdom attitudes. The poor in spirit shall inherit the kingdom, Matthew 5:3. Unless we become like little children, we'll never enter the kingdom, Matthew 18:1-4. Hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom, Matthew 19:23-24, another references. There's the kingdom pursuit for righteousness, number 7 here. Those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, Matthew 5:10-19. They were to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, this kingdom pursuit of righteousness, Matthew 6:33, and again Romans 14:17, the kingdom is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. Kingdom requirements is a category. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom, Matthew 7:21. Do we have to be born again to enter the kingdom? That certain people will not inherit the kingdom, 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. Notice that there's a diversity of the kingdom here, number 9. That many will come from east and west. That tax collectors and prostitutes will enter the kingdom ahead of you. That's Matthew 8:11 and 21:31. There are kingdom comparisons, the numerous parables that Jesus told that begin with, the kingdom is like. There's the kingdom apocalypse, Matthew 24:14. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world, and then the end will come. That not just the gospel, but the gospel of the kingdom. That we're to pronounce, to let the world know about the kingdom of God. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world, and then the end will come. And then number 12 here, kingdom future, the eternal kingdom, 2 Peter 1:11, the appearing of his kingdom, 2 Timothy 4:11. And so all these incredible references about the kingdom of God that you find in the Bible. Now, I really appreciate that you've registered for this course, that you've been a part of this course on pastoral care through preaching. And what I've been sharing with you about kingdom preaching is something that I'll hope that you'll will stimulate you even more in doing research and in thinking about what does it mean to preach the gospel of the kingdom in our churches and in our world today. Well, I appreciate you registering for this course. I look forward to reading your module assignments. I hope you'll find the textbooks selected for this course to be thought-provoking, and the ministry of your church will be positively impacted because of your interaction with the material in this course. You see, we live in an interesting and an exciting age, a challenging time. Ministry faces obstacles not seen in previous generations. May God grant to all of us a pastor's heart for our people and the boldness of a prophet to speak God's unchanging word. May we carry out our priestly functions with an attitude of humble worship and awe in the presence of Almighty God. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be glory and honor forever and ever. Well, God bless you.